A very pleasant good morning to you. This is Archdeacon Keith Cartwright from St. Agnes Church in Grantstown, New Providence, the Bahamas. Also, I'm Archdeacon of the Turks and Caicos Islands and the Southern Bahamas. Good morning. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal Mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The psalm for this past Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, is Psalm 133. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard of Aaron, and runs down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. This past Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, our gospel reading came from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 33. That's John chapter 20, verses 19 to 33. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they have come to believe." And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. The reading of the gospel. Thanks be to God. I'm always very, very happy during the Easter season to hear this story about who we call Doubting Thomas. And Thomas is a very favorite character of mine, one of the favorite disciples of mine, you know, because, of course, he gets a bad rap because he doesn't believe at first when his fellow disciples say, "Boy, listen here, we have seen the Lord. He's alive." And Thomas just, even though the 10 of those fellows said, "We have seen him," Thomas said, "I am not going to believe. It's too good to be true." And of course, it wasn't until a week later when Thomas, making up the 11 now, because you remember Judas had committed suicide, so there were 11, and Jesus comes again. And this time, Thomas is there. And boy, he is so stunned. Yes, what his fellow disciples had said to him was true. And Jesus say, "Yeah, you got hard mouth? Yeah, you come here, put your finger in my hands and feet. Come, put them in. Put your hand in my side. You got all this hard mouth." And all Thomas could do was say, "My Lord and my God." And when I reflect on this, it really makes me think deeply about what could have happened, why Thomas wasn't there with the other disciples at that particular time. And perhaps it is something like so many of us. You know, when times of difficulty and trial come, a lot of us withdraw from the church. A lot of us stay by ourselves. You know, when there's a death, we seem to not be able to handle it. We withdraw. When we perhaps have lost our job, or we don't want to come to church because we don't have collection, or when there's some kind of disharmony somewhere in the family, or there's been a fight somewhere, or whatever the case may be, we seem to withdraw. And this was the thing for me that Thomas, he made a mistake in doing that. When we are going through things where the bottom drops out, friends, let's not disappear. Let's come and fellowship with the church. And all of us who are in the church, let us be there with our brothers and sisters who are going through trying times, to lift them up, to be there, to be their comfort, to be their friend and brother. And so let us not withdraw, but let us keep coming to God's house. Keep coming to the church. Let's keep coming and being a part of the community of faith. The second thing that I see about Thomas is that Thomas was not a yes man. Not because all the others, all the crowd said yes, the 10 of them, the disciples said yes, we've seen the Lord. Thomas had to be sure, and Thomas wasn't going to just agree for agreeing's sake. You know, far too many of us are yes people. And that it's good to be yes when we are sure and when we are in fact saying yes. But a lot of us go ahead and go along with the crowd, but we really aren't the wanting to do just that. We want that. That's not what we really want. And so a lot of us sort of grin up in people's face, but in the back, we're doing something different. And so Thomas was genuine. He was genuine. He said, "Listen, I got to be sure for me, for myself." And I think more of us need to be like Thomas. We need to make sure that what we say is what is in our hearts. And then finally, Thomas really was a wonderful example of what it means to go all the way. All the way with Jesus. When he saw Jesus, When Jesus came and he was there that second time, Thomas went all the way with the Lord. Every fiber of his being was there with the Lord. And of course, we hear of many, many stories about the ministry of Thomas after Jesus' resurrection and after his ascension. And of course, the disciples were going into the whole world to spread the gospel. Thomas was so excited, he went far and wide. And legend has it that he ended up even as far as India, spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because he went all the way. My dear friends, you and I who know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to give him every little bit of ourselves, every ounce of ourselves. Be totally committed, totally dedicated, and never, never, never give him halfway. And so this morning, I want to wish each and every one of you a very blessed Eastertide. We have 40 days and where we are celebrating the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I wish you every blessing this Easter. This is Archdeacon Keith Cartwright wishing you a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Good morning.